Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 6 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week?
Yep, it was the return of the last emperor in Bellator fighting. For those that don't know, Fedor Emelianenko, long regarded as one of the best MMA fighters ever.
What's his name?
Fedor.
Fedor Emelianenko.
Fighting in the US for the first time in a long time.
It's the purest man physique, too.
Pretty much. He is like the Russian dad bod fighting for the motherland. In a heavyweight tournament, he was fighting against Frank Mir, who was the UFC champion at the same time that he was the champion of the prior Japanese organization. So he's in America for... Yeah,
no one knows who was on more gear at the time either.
Well, someone does, and it's probably the Japanese. They're probably in the contract. but yeah, got a visit from the FBI. Apparently, I can't remember, I think it's... One of the people who was at the center of the probe for Russian collusion in the election was actually the owner of Bellator and was friends with Fedor. So, yeah, the FBI came in with him the entire time leading up to the fight.
To be fair, I can understand that.
Well, I mean, feel like they just wanted the free tickets, to be honest.
That as well. But, I mean, Fedor is it's been well publicized that he's very... Not close, but he's in
close.
Contact.
Yeah,
with
he's close.
Putin.
Yeah, he's close. Very close.
And,
yeah,
and his brother's, you know, got a checkered history.
Checkered is one way of putting it. Yeah,
I think in Australia we call them colourful racing identities.
Who
do time for assault.
I did watch the fight with Fedor and Frank Mir.
Yeah.
But I saw
the actual video or the GIF.
No, I watched the Joe Rogan.
Reaction. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Eddie Bravo, who looked the most sober I've ever seen him in his life,
yep, it was.
Called the fight for Frank Mir about 40 seconds earlier,
yep.
Then Fedor finished it.
Yep.
To be fair, I actually quite like Eddie Bravo's commentary on the fights.
That's great.
He doesn't go into random, well, he does get into random ass shit, yeah, but just, not as much.
If you can stop him talking about anything else except fighting,
yeah,
great.
It's amazing.
Brilliant. But as soon as he goes off fighting, nah, I could not be interested.
Well, in that same episode, they were talking about they're going to put some mats down in their studio and have like a top-down view. So when they're talking through a fight during the fight campaign, they can go in real time, yeah, and go through what they should be doing.
Why not? He's got an indoor fucking archery range. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
Still to see Dan Ricciardo on that.
So do I. And like, he's a massive UFC fan, so I know. Maybe just ring up Uncle Joe and let him know.
Yeah, I'll tweet him or something. But you know, also with Bobby Knuckles fighting out of... Well, we're supposed to fight out of Perth before. It would have been perfect to have him on.
Yeah, yep.
No.
Josh, you got a highlight?
Yeah, F1. It was the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, and for anyone who can instantly look at a map and know where Azerbaijan is, you're better than me. But Grosjean, he's the big event, obviously, was Ricciardo and Verstappen, both on the same team, fighting each other. It was brilliant, brilliant television. And in the end...
bit of friendly fire.
Yeah, Verstappen tried to put Ricciardo into a wall, on lap 13 and then try to get on lap 35, and then towards the end of the race he decided to weave all over the track as Ricciardo was faster and behind him after a pit stop, and they both crashed out. And that was bad enough, but you could see it coming from a mile away. Always going to happen, whatever. But the highlight for me was old mate Grosjean. For years he had that reputation as being a bit crash happy.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit.
Yep. First corner nutcase, I believe,
yeah,
is what we call it.
Yeah, the Grosjean torpedo, the French torpedo, and he sort of set a new standard here. So after the Verstappen and Ricciardo coming together, they brought out a safety car, and there's only about 7 or 8 laps left. So everyone's getting a bit anxious, a bit tense, trying to get the brakes warm and whatnot. And so behind the safety car, somehow, Grosjean flicked the switch, which flicked the brake bias all the way to the back. And when that happened, he's just sort of weaving around to warm his brakes up, and somehow, he ends up ploughing fair into the wall. driving at about, you know, probably 80 k's an hour under the safety car. The funniest thing was, instantly, he's gone, what the fuck was Ericsson doing?
Yeah, he's trying to claim he got hit from behind.
he was nowhere near him. Like, he was literally a good 10 metres away. But that's a story, you stick it to it.
Good on him.
So that was my highlight, the fact that Grosjean, for a couple of years, he's been pretty good. He's been keeping his head down, but now he fucked up royally and he's still trying to find a way.
Who would have thought it was on camera?
It was like that meme, you know, the guy riding the bike and he sticks the stick in the bike and, oh,
yep.
Whatever. Anyway, I'm glad we had some highlights away from the footy, because I thought the footy was pretty ordinary this week.
But yep.
We'll go through the games and I think we'll brush through a few of them fairly quickly.
Yeah, apparently some off-field stuff to talk about.
Oh, isn't there
some great stuff?
Well, last week we bumped up Damien Barrett for having a pump-up of text because there wasn't enough positive articles, and geez, they've gone the other way this week. But to be fair, the footy world has fucking supplied it.
Yeah, there's been enough there.
Fair bit of supply going on in the footy world.
Supply is a good word. Well, it all started off with a blockbuster on Friday night with the Bulldogs and Carlton. I thought Carlton showed a little bit, but clearly they're not up to it yet.
Well, up to Friday nights.
Up to AFL standard.
The AFL must hate Carlton, because they have not had a good Friday night game for as long as there's been Friday night games, I reckon.
Well, remember they had 7-1 year, and when they were shit.
Yeah.
And then they went, right, you got none the next year.
Yeah.
And then this year they got 6.
I think that happened to Richmond as well. We had like a little spell. We had a few in one season. Then we lost all of them, I think. So they gave that the kibosh. But yeah, it was a chance for, obviously, you know, them to put a win against a team who was kind of struggling at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, they failed to show up for most of the game.
It was billed as Cripps versus Bontempelli. And at the end of the day, I think they were both fairly even, although obviously Bont's team's won.
Yeah.
I saw the coaches' votes they gave it to Cripps, but from what I was watching, he was making a lot of silly mistakes as well.
Yeah, and I mean, when your team is not in good form, then you need to really take it on your own and sort of stand up. But a lot of handballs, there wasn't really a whole lot that he was actually doing with the ball.
Like handballs that are going behind a running player.
Yeah.
I mean, for starters, they're handballing to running players, and that's a good start. You know?
Yeah.
Because previously, he's handballing to the bloke standing still, who's about to get poleaxed. You know, we're baby steps, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I mean, if it's not for Levi Casbolt pulling down a mark, is it even a reason to watch the Carlton
Charlie
games?
Kerno. Remember he started his first 5 minutes of the season was unbelievable. Yeah. But now he's
got 1-4 for this game.
He's missing him from the goal square.
Yeah, like that was his forte.
And
not
the worst miss of the round.
No.
Not even in the top three.
I'm going to say, he wasn't even on the podium when it comes to that.
Oh, God.
But anyway, that they got through. The other major talking point of this game was Caleb Daniel playing Sans helmet for the first time in 15 years, they reckon.
Yep.
He went from a helmet to a beanie, which not many blokes can do that.
No. It does usually go the other way.
Yep.
Although this is the second time I've seen him without the helmet at the footy.
Yep.
You remember a game once when he was injured and he was walking along the back of the...
And Eddie had, yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. The crowd, and I went... That's Caleb Daniel, I'm fairly sure.
Yeah.
Not getting bothered at all.
No, it was either him or Uriah Faber. I think they could be the same person.
He did have the longer hair then.
It is funny. He looked bigger once he took it off. He looked AFL size for some reason.
And yeah, that was about as exciting as that match got. I mean, they got that much coverage from the media that, it's not good when your on-field performance is overshadowed by someone not wearing a helmet.
I think more people actually watched Ling John's Twitter.
Oh,
you see that?
Man gets hit by football.
Yeah, you know the Simpsons bit, man gets hit by football.
Old man is the cloud?
No. Man gets hit by football. Like
Hans Molman.
Hans Molman had a video, and Homer's on the their version of Tropicana Fest or whatever it is.
This is the very long version of this.
Yeah.
Right.
And gets hit in the groin, falls over, and he wants to vote for that rather than Moe's poetic black and white thing.
It was Barney, but that's all right.
Whatever. Barney, Moe, I think they're related. But so Lim Jong has, you know, man gets hit by football and then himself getting hit in the face with a football in vision, and then just close up of it in his face, and then Homer laughing. And that worked really well. It actually got better ratings than the game, I reckon.
You got to own it when this shit happens, don't you?
Well, that's it. I mean, you always got to have a really strong meme game if your actual game's shit.
And yeah, I mean, Bulldogs were good enough. I think that's all we can say.
Yeah, I mean, they would have hoped they were not shit enough to lose to Carlton, let's be honest.
And that's 0-6 for Carlton for the first time in their history.
Where do you see their win coming from?
Oh, Brisbane, if they're lucky.
JLT.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm going. Like,
I think they were undefeated in the JLT, I think.
Sure.
I got a feeling they were.
I don't know. If you're the one that watched it, no one else will.
Were there. I didn't watch it, no.
But the thing is, Carlton have been savaged by injuries because it's been the people they can't afford to lose that have been getting injured.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Cruiser, who's brilliant future ahead of him, but we can say that around a whole bunch of players.
Well, he hasn't got a future ahead of him because his future is the same as his past, injuries.
Yeah.
He's never got that. Sam Doherty as well, who's sitting out the entire year with an ACL. He's only 24, you know.
Is
he's
really?
Coming off All-Australian selection.
Mm.
So there's another one. And I don't think Murphy's back either.
No, and Wiedering still doesn't know whether he wants to be a forward or a back. And I don't know what's going on
I don't
there.
Know if that's all his fault either.
No. Yeah.
No, he's been trying to plug gaps that someone 5 years more experienced should be plugging.
For the second week in a row, though, I thought Liam Jones looked better. And again, because Sam Rowe's there.
Yeah.
And I think they need to play them both.
Yeah.
Which obviously, you know, Sam Rowe's only come back from injury as well, and probably a little bit of coach's choice there too. But anyway, that's how Friday night footy went. I think we spent the first half of this game looking up footy stats on our phones because we were that enthralled by the contest.
Looking up for random funny stats or anything in particular?
I can't remember why, but we were talking about who coached the Allies against Victoria in 1999.
Yes.
And you would not believe it. Took us a good 20 minutes to try and find the answer. Could not find it. We ended up texting Solly.
Was it Dennis Pagan?
No, it was Damien Drum.
Oh, of
but
course it was.
It is not on the internet anywhere.
Really?
We had to ask Solly because he played in that game.
Trying to find the Allies teams, including coach.
Yep.
Fucking impossible. Like, there's no central Aussie repository of state of origin. AFL tables, you know, you guys got plenty of spare fucking time. Jump on it, please.
I reckon last time using that site.
All right, on Saturday, one of the decent games and one of the most intriguing games of the round
Went from worst game of the round to the best, I reckon.
Oh, close to it. Close to it. Geelong and Sydney. So, Sydney going in without Hanbury, without Buddy.
Yeah.
Down to Goomba Stadium, which I think they've won their last two down there before this.
Yep.
And obviously the question before the game is, where are the Swans going to get their goals from? Well, they come out
the fourth quarter, apparently.
Like a house on fire. Yeah. Kick four goals in the first, one in the middle two, and then seven in the last.
He came home, yeah.
Unbelievable.
And it was the last seven too, wasn't it? No, the last six.
Yeah, they were like a house on fire. And you could feel it happening too. Towards the end of the third quarter, they were just starting to get on top in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of reminded me of Adelaide's win the round before, where they got no stars, lots of people sitting on the pine,
yep,
and other guys who just solidified, and no one, there were a couple of standouts for Swans, obviously,
yeah,
but
Kennedy,
everyone,
obviously.
Yeah, everyone actually put in an effort, and it started from their back line, which I think has been one of their criticisms.
Yep.
And probably the same with the Crows, like one of their criticisms has been their back line, and yeah, they just pegged together and were very composed, especially when you're looking at, I don't know, what were they down, like nearly six goals or something, or five goals in the
not quite that far, third. But yeah.
Yeah.
24 points, I think.
Like, not getting totally touched up, but you're not really sure where you're going to, where forward momentum's going to come from. And it came from the back line, which I think was a massive feather in the cap.
Other thing is, too, they killed him in centre clearances, 16-5.
Well, and that was all last quarter.
Yeah.
It was all the last quarter. You know, they still had Selwood managed to, you know, fight his way to play this game.
Yeah.
And Dangerfield as well. Hardly sighted.
Yeah, yeah, like, I thought so.
There were times I was watching the game, I'm like, oh, yeah, Dangerfield's playing. That's right.
Yep.
You know, so there's some issues there, but you know, Gazza could be back this week, so that'll help that out.
Oh no! Apparently, they're a better team without him.
Yeah. Well, actually,
if you ask Wayne Carey,
actually, what he tried to say was they're better off with him in the forward line. But you know, you know, with Carey, sometimes it takes him three or four goes to get across what he's actually trying to say.
Yep, and yeah, I mean, there was like a lot of consistency from Callum Sinclair as well, playing in another. Was it Sinclair?
Yeah, the Ruckman.
Yeah, yeah. Playing a good job all around the grounds. But yeah, that goal scorer is obviously Buddy's not there, so you're not really sure who your focus is going to be, which almost was like a blessing because you had people popping up who usually wouldn't get a look in because you've got Buddy sort of dominant focus as your forward line. And
first gamers kicking their goals.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah, and Oliver Florent, obviously, he's had a pretty decent game with a few touches and a couple of goals. But Will Hayward kicking three straight, got four tackles as well. I thought that was a pretty good return.
Yeah.
He's a kid that I would ask him for ID if he ordered a beer. Like, he looks like he's someone's... He's just hanging out in the change room waiting for his dad.
But Haywood kicked the sealer, but I reckon he should get dragged.
How's that?
You can't kick it on the outside of your boot. You haven't got a left leg, mate.
Oh, this is true.
I haven't got a left leg. Get off.
Yep.
I don't care if you're kicking the winning goals.
If they got off every player that couldn't kick either foot, we wouldn't have much of a game, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, got to learn. That's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
But it's a funny old season, isn't it? You know, with Sydney had all their stars the week before and capitulated at home. Their record away is better than their record at home at the minute.
Yeah.
Actually, this game got me to number one in the tips at work. So no one else picked Sydney. I did. I'm up.
That was dumb.
I was feeling a lot more nervous three-quarter time.
Did you stay there till the end of the round?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm equal one.
Yeah, it was a decent old game. It just felt like they had extra energy in the last end.
Yep.
Geelong panicked, and they didn't have that calming influence.
Well, we don't want to say that this week.
Extra energy?
Yeah, that's especially down Geelong way.
Okay.
Because old Bomber Thompson's been supplying extra energy to the whole region, apparently.
Yep. Yeah, not going to happen anymore.
Yeah. All right, on to the other game, which I watched Geelong Sydney, so I didn't see much of North Port. But what was the story, Josh? You attended?
Yeah, went along. Yep. To be honest, for about probably the first quarter and a little bit, North weren't looking too bad, but then the basic skills just left them. And I mean basic skills by ability to pick up the ball below their knees. Port could do it, North couldn't. And also, all through the match, punching Benny around in the face was fine, and the other end wasn't.
I was wondering if it was going to be the ump's fault.
Yeah.
The ump's were about a 3-goal fault. But legitimately, the whole crowd was pissed off about it because Benny Brown's getting completely mugged and getting nothing for it.
What about the guy at halftime? Did he beat the Mazda?
Oh, of course. Literally lapped it.
$20 in his pocket then, isn't there?
It's a spend 20, get 20. You know. North got to keep the money flowing.
It was pretty much the game you'd expect to happen, really. Nothing super surprising came out of it.
Well, I mean, Jared Waite kicking more goals and points is pretty surprising.
It's a work up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very interesting when it comes to goal kicking as well, that Chad Wingard takes a nice mark 15 metres out and feels a little bit tightness in his hammy, but like, oh, I can take this kick still.
Yeah.
I'm only 15 out.
Twang.
Took the kick and went, no, that'll do me. I'm done for the afternoon. I reckon KB cried when he saw that.
Yeah.
He was that proud. It's going to cost him a week or two probably, but it's a weird one, isn't it? When you feel tightness in the hamstring, be like, no, I've still got this goal.
I got this one, yeah. Yeah, was he coming back from hamstring problems?
Last year he didn't play every game. Yeah. I don't know if they were hamstrings or not, but yeah, he's definitely had injuries in the past.
I did give Polek, who was actually on Brown for a bit of crap, but to be honest, the umps aren't paying it. He's doing nothing wrong. That's a backman's job to make the forward life hard.
Polek. Yep. Polek was playing on Brown.
Sorry, not Polek. Who the fuck was on him?
Homsch.
Might have been Homsch, yeah. No, Pollock was killing us in the middle.
Yeah.
I think it was Homsch, yeah. If the ump isn't calling it when you're punching someone in the back of the head, keep punching the back of the head. It's not the backman's fault.
I got to say, part of me likes it too. I remember clear as a day one game with North versus Sydney when Spud Ferrito was standing on Buddy and he's punched Buddy fair in the back of the head, missed the ball by at least 2 metres. And you can see him, he's like, what am I going to do? Spud Ferrito's like, let's just... I like that. So, you know, the backman monstering the forwards. I'm like, you know what? The forwards got a lot going for them these days.
Yep.
If they get a few in, you got to laugh.
Well, you have to run
it. Part of the game. What do you do?
Benny Jacobs did a good shutdown on Ollie Wines, though. Ollie got 20 possessions, but didn't have the impact that he normally does.
Well, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because you thought Robbie Gray would be the one to be worried about, but it was Sam Gray who did all the hurting.
Yeah.
Sneaky bastard.
We've been talking about what, you know, with Port Adelaide's having what you would consider would be a forward line with plenty of options. None of them are actually kicking or firing very good. I mean, Jack Watt's obviously useless and Dixon hasn't been great. Westhoff's got a other job now. Wingard's been injured. You're looking at, one of the Greys to come. Well, actually, you know, you wouldn't expect Sam Gray to come through if he was out of the two Greys. But,
He's had a few good games.
4-1.
He's definitely improving.
Yeah.
Well, Dixon was in the ruck most of the game and didn't do a bad job against Goldstein, actually. Goldstein probably had a bit more of it, but for whatever reason, North decided to play the wide forward flankers again. But the problem was they weren't running into the tap. Yeah. So when the ball came to ground, the narrow back flankers that Port had were running straight on the ball and running forward with it.
Yeah.
Is it a case of, well, this worked last week. You know, we were so good that they were reluctant to change?
I think either
the coach's box or on the field, one or the other?
I think to a point. But I think also they want to have a much more open forward line than what they have been having.
Yeah.
And once the forward line was congested by throwing more players back, they kind of wanted to draw the backman out. But Port stuck to the game plan. Like, no, we'll let you guys run out there on your own.
Do you like?
We'll just stay in here,
yeah,
and then run forward and run back. And the fitness level too was so much in Port's favour. They had tons of run all the way through the game, and yeah, North just didn't.
Yeah, they chased harder as well. I mean, you can see through the teams a lot more tackles.
Although, again, probably for the fourth week in a row, Magic Door's best game in the colours.
Okay, so he's improving slowly.
He did not have one blunder in this game.
Was he standing Jack Watts?
He was standing a few blokes, actually, but he was doing really fucking well.
Was he doing what he's supposed to be doing?
Yeah. But the weird thing is, he's actually got the most disposal efficiency of North Melbourne. Well, that 76%.
Right. Oh, whoa, that's the highest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, 76. Oh, well, I guess when, you know your limitations, and maybe that's what he's down to now.
Chuck him in the middle.
No, he's done really fucking well, to the point where he's not doing anything fucking terrible, which normally he'd do great shit and then terrible shit within the next 30 seconds. But now he's doing...
just shit.
Yeah, no, he's doing average shit with the occasional bit of, that was pretty fucking good.
I like the standard of measurement for North is shit. You're either doing good shit, bad shit, but it's always shit.
Sorry, there was a bit of commentary from the soccer over the weekend that you just reminded me of. I don't know if you can find it, but it was one of the Italian coaches of one of the big teams, and he's doing his press conference in English in a voice that if I did it, you'd say it was racist.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it sounded like. But he goes, questioning the team, he goes, look, we all working very hard. We're working 12 hours a day. Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit. It's brilliant.
I think I did see that one. With that proper Italian passion behind it as well.
It was, sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit. So that's Magic Door. Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit. All right. Anyway, Benny Brown kept quiet for most of the day, but kicked a couple of junk time goals. But the good thing is, when it comes to the Coleman medal, junk time goals count just as well.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, he's on. He's got a 4-goal break on Bruce, which that'll be interesting to see how Bruce goes. I forgot he was up there that high. He had one great game of 5, didn't he?
No, he's had 4-4-5, and he kicked 2-3, I think, this week. So he's just one of those, he's kicking his goals every week. But every Coleman medal, like every year, there's some small forward who's there or thereabouts about halfway through.
Yeah.
And then they die off. Remember, Lindsay Thomas was close one year.
Yeah, he was up in the 40s at about halfway mark, I think.
And then got 4 kicks for the rest of the season.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it happens every year. So that's just the way it goes. All right, on to Giants and the Lions. The Giants got up. Do we need to say more?
Not as big a flogging as I expected. I'm going to be honest. I would expect them, after putting in, they put in like 17 or 18 behinds against the Saints, and they've come out and done against a team.
10-17.
There was one thing you're going to work on for a game that's almost a gimme, it'd be goal kicking, because you did shit at it last week and got a draw against a team you should smash.
Well, I mean, they did keep Brisbane to 1 goal for the first half.
Yep. Yeah. Not Brisbane's worst half.
Not Brisbane's worst half.
Funniest thing, though, not one multiple goal scorer for the game.
Yeah, it was pretty lackluster game. It's one of those ones.
Yep.
I mean, but that's not GWS's fault. They were playing footy, at least.
Well, 10 goals, 17. I think it's a little bit their fault.
Well, yeah, to be honest.
We've had a few blokes who've had a shot. But, yeah, GWS has still got probably 3 or 4 of their best 10 players to come back. So they're just getting through these games at the minute, I think. On to Saturday night, Hawthorn St Kilda. God damn, this game was boring.
Well, that's Hawthorn's fault. You know what you're going to get with St Kilda, and they were shit. So it was at least Hawthorn's responsibility to save this, and they didn't. So it was on them.
I think so too. But it did have the miss of the year, which is a shame. That's the highlight of this game.
Well, the worst thing was Goldstein had a fucked up miss earlier on. From the goal square, he fucked that up. And then you see that, you're going, mate, you're going to regret it. That's going to be all over the papers. And then this happens, memories. And you're just like, what the fuck are you, how?
And Josh, like I said, Josh Bruce did nearly the exact same thing last year in round 6 in Tasmania against Hawthorn. Saints won that game though instead. But
anyway.
Isaac Smith looked like he was playing with a different ball. He was the only one that looked like he knew what was going on.
Yep.
It was just a boring game. Yeah.
Tom Mitchell brought his own ball. He ran around with it for 45 touches.
45 touches, but I reckon he was more impactful against Melbourne when he got 26 touches.
Yeah.
But it was that kind of night.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everything was sloppy and greasy. They shouldn't play night footy in Hobart or Launceston. I'm going to say Tassie.
Take Ben Jacobs off him and all of a sudden he gets 45 again.
Yeah, you're right, he's still averaging, I think, the most anybody has ever averaged.
I'm pretty sure, yes.
But he hasn't had a 30-possession game yet.
No.
He's had 40-plus, up to 50.
He's had, I think, three 40s, a 50, and two sub-25s. But anyway, he had his own footy. But
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I think he only gets one vote.
Yeah.
For that game. So that's a bit weird. Anyway, there's nothing more to say about that game. It was boring. It was finished. Suns and the Crows. Tex Walker was feeling so good of his game the week before that he set out from halftime on.
Yep.
This one.
Well, sounds fair. He's done his job.
They had Matty Crouch is back for this game, so Adelaide is starting to get their midfield back, and they'll look a much, much more dangerous side.
But it's also their tertiary player stepping up. Like Gallucci had a bit of a breakout season last year, and he's looking handy this year too.
Debuted last year. I think he only played half a dozen games, or something like that.
Yeah, he had a breakout.
So he's starting to get a feel for the game now.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can hold his spot once Sloan and all the others come back.
Yeah, I hope he does. But their second string players are still so fucking talented. Well, Cam Ellis Yeoman, how good is he?
Yeah, he's doing well. He played a couple of run with roles as well. He got a lot of the credit for shutting down Josh Kennedy the week before.
Mm. Yep.
Which is no mean feat.
You know, a busy mid who can tackle, who can mark.
Of his size.
Yep. Geez, you'd want a few of them in your team.
He's got a good feet on him too. I remember watching him when he was a rookie, and obviously he wasn't getting much attention. He was very good in the tight contest, very quick on his feet, good at parry.
He was also very hard to get off his feet. Like, you look at some of the guys that have massive impact, like Rioli's obviously the one that comes to mind straight away. Very, very rarely off their feet. They'll, do a triple backflip in midair while trying to take a mark, land on their feet, and be ready for the ball. And that's a skill I don't think we see often enough.
And the Suns, I mean, they're pretty fucked now because Tom Lynch is out for 2 months.
Yep.
To be fair, he's probably going to be out for a lot longer than that at the end of the season. But
I think that just gives him a chance to negotiate his contract with all the teams.
I think it's just saving probably Melbourne or St Kilda a bit of cash.
Richmond, they reckon. That's the biggest whisper. But
I can't see Richmond having enough cash.
You know how these whispers go.
Yep.
Well, now that they've offloaded Tyrone Vickery, they've got, got
plenty.
They've got Tyrone money to throw
back into.
Aren't they still paying him?
No, nobody's paying him.
I thought you still had some contract money there.
No, exactly. No one's paying him. That's where we had to get Jake King.
All right, on to Sunday. Melbourne just did the job against Essendon, really. It's not quite where Melbourne wanted to be at the start of the season, but it was good enough.
Yep.
And I think we can just about call All-Australian ruck done. Done now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's six games in.
Well, and that's it. And it's been consistently across, especially the last three or four games, where what you're going to get out of Max Gorn, but you still can't stop him. There's nothing you can really do about it. You just have to concede that that's what he's going to do and look elsewhere where we can stem that flow.
It's a shame that the bloke hanging over the fence got so much attention because the goal that Maxie kicked was
great.
Mm. When he's missing set shots dead in front from the identical position as they kept on going on, and he's knocking down those bananas without any issue.
Yeah.
Amazing.
This was another embarrassing performance by Essendon, I thought.
Joey Danaher's going to cop a lot of it.
He is.
Which pisses me off because they play Hawthorn this week and that means they're going to bounce fucking back.
I see Joey Danaher being held. Like, as in, he's...
Yeah, he'll get a free kick for it.
Unfortunately, probably will. But no, he kicked 0-3. So the sort of thing where his kicking boots aren't on. He's not accurate. And those three were all gettable.
Well, I mean, he kicked opening goal in the Anzac Day game, and you know we didn't cover it last week, but it's not worth going over again. And then he hasn't kicked another goal since.
No.
I mean, such a shit year. And I think I actually tipped him for the Coleman this year. I thought it'd be his breakout.
I think a lot of people did.
No, yeah. I tipped him as being ordinary.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure who I tipped for the Coleman. I'm going to guess Ben Brown. I'm the eternal optimist.
But yeah, just another lacklustre performance by the Dons. I mean, the only sort of upside is that Stringer's fit into that team quite well, but that's because everyone else has come down to a really shit level.
You can say that they've met him more than the other way.
Yep.
I mean, they do have a few players to get back. And Leuenberger copped a game in this, but they don't really care because Bell Chambers was coming straight back in.
Anyway. Yeah.
I don't see any players coming back that are game changers, though.
Orazio, he can be a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him breaking teams. I see him being handy when they're on, but...
Yeah, no, I think Stringer and Orazio sort of take each other's thunder a little bit as well.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, form's their biggest thing, and... I think some run through the middle. I just don't see where it's coming from. And it could be even the coaches' boxes. After the game, John Worsfold said, "We don't really know what's wrong."
Well, Goddard does. He's been telling everyone all about it.
But how would you like to hear that from your coach? Like, we don't know what's going wrong. I'm like, God.
Yeah,
man.
that's the worst thing.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's almost as bad as Ross Lyons. We just need to tweak a few things and then finish last.
Yeah.
But I look at their side and I'm like, all right, you know, I'd probably tag Heppel, but. After that,
Zaki Merritt.
For sure. He's been the one consistent performer.
Fair enough.
I mean,
Zaharakis is there as well, but they're not. They're very effective players to me when they've got either space or when everyone else is making space for them.
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed. I thought Essendon would have a great first half of the year. Clearly, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought they'd have so much run out of the back lines, you know, with Devin Smith and Ahmed Saad coming in. You know, Waller going back there as well. But they've decided, no, we're going to switch it 18 times before we find the right option.
Yep.
We're going to move it slow out of the back lines instead. That's just wrong.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lack of direct strategy for what they're going to do to set up going into the forward line. I mean, Kyle Hooker gets 3 kicks and 17 handballs or something stupid like that. That's someone who should be setting up that sort of play across that middle to half back line.
See, I'm seeing they're going to play Carlton in round 8, and I'm going to be tempted to pick Carlton because that's their grand final.
Well, see, this is what annoys me, is they're going so shit. I'm giving shit to all the Essendon supporters at work, and they play Hawthorn this week, and they're going to come out and change it. That's just how fucking things work.
Yeah, I can't see them changing that much.
So I can't really enjoy the Essendon misery until after Saturday. If Hawthorn continues it, then...
Go on, treat yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I will.
It's been a bit of an all-you-can-eat buffet at Essendon misery for the last few years, so, you know, have another serve.
I have filled up, don't worry about that. On to the Sunday game. So we had 2 good games to finish off Sunday. Collingwood and Richmond. It's almost a shame that the margin blew out for the quality of the game it was.
Yeah.
I thought the contest up to 3-quarter time was fantastic.
Well, I mean, we've stuck it to Collingwood for the last 3 seasons, so I think it's only fair to say now they're looking good.
Oh, I say we're continuing to get stuck in all this, I say.
But they've had a good month. You know, they knocked off Adelaide over there, stormed home in the Anzac Day, and took it up to Richmond for 3 quarters.
Yeah.
They just ran out.
Oh, exactly. I mean, there were a few people that tried to give it their all. I mean, Treloar, Phillips had great games and stuck it out. But I thought Nant got the best over Grundy across the whole game.
Well, between
one of the big differences in the last quarter.
Phillips, and Howe, I think so too.
Between Treloar, Phillips and Howe, it's 110 disposals. That's pretty fucking good.
And Howe took a nice mark again, as Howe
as
does.
Usual.
But hey, early on, it looked like Mason Cox was going to be the game.
Out of nowhere as well.
Was it Rance gave away a 50? Cox. It was just pure frustration. It's just like, fuck it. Kick it from the goal line, you cunt.
Well, that's it. And especially if he starts taking grabs and kicking goals, then there's nothing we can do about it because we're not playing a tall game. And that's like the strategy you need. But usually, you know, big men are useless. So, you know, you sort of count on that happening.
Yeah. He couldn't catch a handball in round 1.
Yeah, yeah.
How many marks did Mason Cox take? He took a lot of contested marks.
I think it was 6.
You know,
6, yep.
And there's a few times where blokes were, you know, running up to spoil it and running in front of him.
Yeah.
He's just like, nah, mate.
He had a nice tackle too.
He did. He did. I've heard those rumours, but yeah.
It was like a spider catching a snake.
Also, Josh Caddy coming back from a bit of time out. Kick 4. It's always a good sign. Yeah. He seems to have that good goal stance. Doesn't matter what angle he's on, you always back him to kick goals. And I think, obviously, with him getting that sort of form, it sort of makes it really hard for Lloyd to have any sort of look into where he's going to fit in that squad.
Well, I mean, right now, if you're starting finals, you know, in May, Tigers would be unbackable.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I mean, it's the way that they're playing. They look so much fitter than they did 2 years ago. They run out games so well. And their injury list is pretty good.
Yeah, and they've still got a young team too.
I mean, they're still blooding in guys like Higgins who can't stop it.
Yeah. Oh, snap, yeah. Higgins.
How was he just get him?
Hey, two for the price of one as well.
Yeah, that was well played.
See, the second goal there is even better than the first. Like, yeah. He had a first one, which is, you know, just at pretty much the goal square shot. And then, who was it that ran into him?
Lyndon Dunn.
Yeah, that's a dumbass move.
Was just a 6'4" bloke versus a 5'4" bloke.
Yeah.
Really.
And it was there every day.
Of course it was. And it was every dead second in front of the umpire. He had no choice.
Some or all forwards will put mayo on it. And he might have put a tiny bit, but there was more than enough there to start with.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yep.
It was a free kick every day. And then he kicks it. And then I saw Revolt running to him. That's your goal. That's your goal.
He probably thought, oh, fuck it. It's worth it. Even Lyndon Dunn's going, oh, fuck it. It's only Collingwood.
Snag Higgins is quickly getting a fan favourite tag.
Isn't he?
Which is, you know, good on the lad. He's showing a bit of personality. Get
why,
him.
Why not?
And I'm just kind of glad that Mango injured in the game, didn't he?
Sure.
Pretty sure he went off with something wrong with him. Yeah, because I thought if Mang kicks a goal in this last quarter, it's fucking win it. I feel like that's a good strategy to try and target Mang, get him out of the way.
Yeah.
Make sure he does fuck all in that last quarter and we got this.
We got it.
But yeah, a couple of injuries for Collingwood as well, which still doesn't help their cause. They got to. I mean, it seems like they get a couple back and then a couple more drop down. Was it Aish that's
gone? Aish is gone. He's PCL.
That's ruined my enjoyment for all the Collingwood matches.
Hating Aish for no good reason.
I have none. I have. He might be a really nice kid, might give to charity, but for some reason, his face just looks punchable to me.
Yep, yeah.
Maybe that's on me. Actually, it is all on me because I'm like.
I do feel kind of ripped off that Collingwood look at this as a win, though. Like, they get more out of this. It's a win for them.
Yeah. Well, it does build expectation, which is fucking fantastic.
Yeah, it didn't work the way for Melbourne, though.
No, whatever. But yeah, Reed with the Achilles and Maynard with the ankle, both adding to Collingwood's injury woes.
And I think they're out for a little while, too. And they're so this week is the week before players come back.
Yeah.
They've still got a few more that need to come back.
And also, big feather in Grundy's cap is keeping. Our premiership ruckman, Sean Griggs, to zero hitouts.
Thank you.
Yep. It's a great effort by
Can see where you're going. The train was stuck at the station. Just couldn't get out.
Grundy wasn't too bad at all, I thought.
Oh, he played well, but not good enough.
He is going to be something special.
Yeah, God. He's.
It's just too bad. He's like the Stuart McGill to Max Gawn's Warnie.
A little bit at the minute, but I think he's got a couple of years on Maxi Gawn yet.
I think he does. I think he's got two or three.
On to the Dockers and Eagles with Derby 47, whatever it was, and all the talk during the week about the trophy and the medal, and comes out, you know, Ross Glendinning gives out two medals instead now.
Yeah.
Was there ever a more placating decision that they could have made?
Yeah.
Do you think Ross Glendinning just got pissed off? He's like, fuck it. You have one. Fuck off. Leave me alone.
He has done it before.
He has overruled, yes. He's called an audible.
They got the votes for the Ross Glendinning medal, and he went, nope. Gave it to someone else.
And I'm like, you can't do that. He's like, I've got my name on it. I'll do what I fucking want.
Went all Australian Next Top Model on him.
I love it. I'm like, great. I do the same thing.
I feel like if it's got your name on it, then that's fair enough.
There's a statue of you at the ground, and you make the rules. That's the law, I'm pretty sure.
That was Michael Jordan's when he made his comeback. Remember?
Yeah, that's
Steve,
right.
Steve, somebody asked Steve Kerr, like, if Jordan comes back, is he going to play? They're going to come off the bench.
Yeah.
And he said, I think the rule is if it's your statue at the front, you're not coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Decent game, though. Probably if this isn't match of the round, then Geelong Sydney was. But I thought it was great. And the contest was there all day. Mm. It was up for grabs.
Yep.
Fife kept reasonably quiet at 27 posies. But,
did look a little bit sore at times.
A little bit, but he's had such a great start of the season. I'll forgive him if he bounces back next week.
And I thought that it's just a little bit more class with West Coast all over the ground, which you'd probably expect at the start of the year.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've still been surprising, though, for how they've been going.
Yeah.
But it has been because of that. They've just had a lot more cleaner possession. A lot more contributors.
It's five in a row wins for West Coast. It's not a bad effort at all.
Sitting on equal points at the top of the table, out on percentage. But, I think they're well ahead of what they would have sort of strategized at the start of the season. So I think that gives them a lot more opportunity to, either rest players or really manage your list and look for a proper push towards finals.
Especially if everyone's saying the Optus Stadium surface is really hard.
Yep.
If that's true, I don't know if it is, but if that's true, it means they can manage a few players.
Well, that's it. And I mean, if you know, they have no problems playing that ground and it's something that makes it harder for the position, then it's a bonus for them, really.
Michael Wardle's got the bit of the hobble on, though, which is he's been in great form.
He did spend, I think, three quarters on the bench.
Yeah, left knee.
But I think they got good news today, which might mean, you know, 1 week instead of six.
Right.
That might be what they classify good news.
I hope so. I believe he's underrated. I think he gets a bit of press, but probably not as much as he'd get if he was in Melbourne.
He's one step off all Australian. He's that good. You know, he just needs to have some consistency on the field. You know, because I think he ended up doing his knee, you know, not doing his knee, but a couple of injuries last year, which, you know, takes you out for a couple of games, and then it's one to get back into the flow of it. And so if he strings together a whole season, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
Yep. Yeah.
Very much.
Because, goddamn, he's hard to stop. I thought Big Sandy wound back the clock a bit as well in this one, taking some nice grabs and moving well too.
He was. And I mean, I think he outperformed Nick Nat in this game. I think Nick Nat got like eight touches or something like that, and Sandy's moved around the ground, looked good.
Such two different styles of ruckman that have dominated in their own right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is very much Andre the Giant versus Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. I can see that.
But yeah, Sandy had more disposals, more kicks, more marks, more hitouts, same tackles. But to be fair, Sandy tackles you. You're kind of feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, he can be coming off the interchange bench and tackle you in the goal square.
Yeah. One of the bonuses of Nick Nat is he plays as a rover, and if you've not allowed him to play that role and have to, you know, struggle to get his possessions, then that's definitely a win.
Well, I think that's...
obviously not down to Sandy, but...
I mean, Nick Nat doubles as a rover, Sandy doubles as a goalpost. So, you know, both handy.
That's the thing with Nick Nat, how he can dominate you as the ruck rover.
Yeah.
But with somebody like Sandy on the other team, guys, we can't spoil him. We need you to look after him. So Nick Nat becomes accountable.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think he's never dominated Frio like he has other sides.
Yep.
Yeah, fair call.
Shannon Hearn had a good one as well.
Yeah, he's had a good season so far. Shooey. A little bit of a miss last week. But
Has McGovern re-signed yet? Because I know that's been pushed back a couple of times.
I'm not sure.
I've got a feeling he hasn't, which that'll be something that'll come into the media soon again.
I'm sure he'll be fine. I reckon. And Chris Maston, just reminding people that, yes, I am still a cunt. but again, it's one of those ones where... like, I don't like the hyperbole that goes around it.
Yeah.
So he's tackled somebody and he's given the old face massage with the forearm.
Yeah.
And people are saying he's dropping elbows on his head. I'm like, no, he's rubbing his forearm on his face. Like,
Which is fucking annoying.
Yes. But it's already annoying enough. Yeah. You don't need to put mayo on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to be cunt, be full cunt.
Yeah, go for a can opener.
Ah, that's all right.
Get in there.
He copped, you know, I think he got $1,500 for it, so...
Yeah,
there's been a few fines. It's
quite clearly not the worst thing he's ever done on the football field, so...
It seems like Hocking and, what's the other bloke, Christensen?
Christensen's whatever. The MRO.
Yeah, they decided this whole thing's going to be about brown paper bags and fine money.
Jeez, they've done well the last 2 weeks, haven't they?
They're in a lot of beer money.
There was a melee in the Sydney Geelong game.
The fines are cheaper for cash?
It's got to be, doesn't it?
I would say that. 1500, mate. You got 1200 cash in now. We'll call it even.
Well, it is so funny the way things are going, because that used to be Carlton's go, didn't it? But Carlton feel like the Richmond of old. And I'm talking
pretty much
mid-80s to early 2000s Richmond.
2016.
Yeah. Who's there tambling?
All of them.
I look at their
Daisy
list, though.
Thomas.
Oh, no, he would be there. Yeah, yeah. He was the most expensive piece of crap. Although he's come average of recent.
Yeah, which is a step up.
But having said that, if Charlie Curnow or Manny Cruiser tomorrow announce they're up for grabs, then people will be interested.
Yeah,
or Crips.
I know we're going back to Carlton now, but if you have a look at some of the players they've lost, obviously there's a lot of good
lost
players.
A lot
there.
Of stars.
Yeah. everyone's focused on, you know, Kennedy and Eddie Betts and that kind of stuff, but even Tui and Lockie Henderson, they could do with those two. Right?
Yeah.
Well, they managed to pick up Aaron Mullett, so, you know.
Sean Griggs wouldn't hurt him either.
I think they'll be better off in a couple of years. They just try to get through it.
It is one of those. Well, unfortunately, they might do a Richmond of old, like you're calling, and sack the coach a bit too early. Because if they end up, say, 0-11, which
is likely.
The odds are in favour of it.
Yeah.
That's when the coach starts having those hard conversations and hard meetings.
Just to finish off Frio and West Coast, though, not to ignore the WA teams, I thought Jack Redden had his best game.
He's a fucking handy player.
Yeah,
ever
definitely.
Since coming across.
Yep.
He hasn't been much since he left the Lions, but I noticed the Lachie Neale and Shannon Hearn shared the medal, but Jack Redden got the coach's votes.
That's right.
He got the most there.
There aren't too many players you'd keep over getting Lachie Neale in your squad. He's proper good.
He's pretty handy, no doubt. Yeah, he gets a lot of the ball. All right, let's have a look at round seven, which hopefully is going to be a lot better.
Well, the matchups look a lot more even. So
I hope so. Rumours are Gary Ablett's going to come back for Friday night Geelong versus the Giants. I think if the Giants get a few of theirs back, and there's rumours that, when I say rumours, you know, reports, Lob, Green, and somebody else could be, Kelly be back.
Yeah.
That's three big ins if they get all three, but I reckon one or two might be enough for them.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty, I mean, can Duras kick a winning score? This is what the question is. I mean, they've been kicking so many behinds, and they've got that much talent in their team, but where are the goals going to come from?
Well, we said that same about Sydney last week. And they found a way.
Yeah, this is true.
And if there's one team that's got plenty of youth coming through.
It's that silly one, isn't it? I mean, they kicked 10 goals, 17, and 9 goals, 15 or something the week before. They're getting plenty of shots on goal. Yeah. As soon as they straighten up, they won't be stopped.
No. And, it could be a battle of backlines because it could really open up to a free-scoring game, this one.
Yeah.
But if they get Green and Kelly back, they're a far goal-better side.
Yeah. If Ablett comes back, I think it gives Geelong more options as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But, you know, when they missed Duncan earlier in the year, I think that's a bigger out than Ablett. But, anyway.
Menzel and Selwood Mark II are still out, which is... I actually quite rate Menzel. I think he's had a fairly good run.
What do you mean? He's all Australian until he got injured.
Exactly.
He's killing it.
So having him out for one more week, and it was a groin, so he's probably going to be working his way back in terms of fitness a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Geelong need goals as well because Tommy Hawkins isn't right.
No.
I don't reckon he could touch his toes at the minute. So without him, and then Menzel was their leading goal kicker.
You're
going to need a lot of goals from your midfield, and they can. But
and their goal kicking small players like Cockatoo and Guthrie, they're both out.
Yeah. So who do you reckon?
I'm going for GWS, which is probably an upset, and that puts the Cats at 0-2 at GMBH, Goomba. For the last 2 weeks, but I think they'll do it. And I don't think Ablett's, if he's coming back now, he's not coming back at 100%. And he did that at Gold Coast, and it proved to be a bit of a mistake.
I think that they would have noticed the holes in the game against Sydney on the weekend, so I think that's something they'll really work on and probably pay benefits in this game. I think they'll be a much more composed team, so I think Geelong will get across the line.
Essendon and Hawthorn at the MCG. This could have been a different game, was it, Etihad, I think?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I don't think so. No, I think all Hawks will get away.
Definitely. No,
I was thinking, actually, Essendon played all right. No, Essendon have not played all right, actually.
No.
It's been terrible. So, I think Hawks will come home with the goods in this one. I think that there seems to be a little bit of a breakdown in that team of the Bombers, so I'm not sure if
they
have the ability to work as a team.
Whereas
Hawthorn, that's been their pretty much their positive.
Is Shields back yet?
Maybe. He had back spasms against North and didn't play this week.
Yeah, if it's just a spasm sort of thing, and it's just, he needs a bit of rest, a bit of massage, him coming back along with Burgoyne, who'll be back at 100%, you'd imagine, or as close to it as possible.
Better off for the run, Burgoyne, after Saturday night.
I can't see Essendon getting near them if both of those players are anywhere near their potential.
I think it is. I'm worried about this game because of my pessimism. Also, Hawthorn haven't been good the last 3 weeks, but they beat Melbourne, who were terrible, got done by North, and then beat St Kilda, who were terrible. So I'm a little bit worried that Essendon are going to come to form sooner or later. And like I said, I've been giving so much shit to Essendon supporters at work. Karma's got to come back at some stage.
How much sick leave you got saved up?
A lot. I might need it.
Well, Matt Day and Orazio Fantasia, if they come back in, they look a little bit of a better side, but I don't see those as big ins as Scheel and, again.
Oh, Sicily comes back as well.
Does he? Yeah. Oh, from suspension,
Suspension, yeah.
Now, that is a genuine big in, because you always need a dickhead on your team, and he certainly enjoys being that.
I think him and Burgoyne.
Burgoyne's not a dickhead. I like Burgoyne.
No, nobody hates Burgoyne. Eagles and the Power over at Optus Stadium.
Hang on, you've skipped Bulldogs and Suns.
Bulldogs and Suns was the first game we did.
No,
I skipped that. Absolutely, I did. All right, Bulldogs, Suns.
Bulldogs.
Yeah, Suns haven't got anyone left. All right, Eagles and the Power.
One thing I like about the Suns, they've got one guy called Sean Lemons. And if he's not called Siemens, I don't know what goes on. That's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just me that sees that.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, it is just you.
Yep.
Eagles and Port for the third time.
Where are we playing? Optus Stadium.
Yeah, over
well,
there.
I think
good game.
It's going to be a good game, but, I mean, not really consistent performance from Port. And obviously going over there, hard service and lots of hamstring injuries coming on from Port Adelaide. I think they might have the work cut out for them. I wouldn't be surprised if they just took a little breather on this one and put some players to rest. It's a big, long way to travel. Yeah, so I think West Coast will get the gold in this one.
Well, they're halfway there from Melbourne, so, you know, it's not that big a travel. But no Paddy Ryder and Nick Nat being Nick Nat, I think that's a hole. But
I think that's it right there. That's the game.
And no Lindsay Thomas, obviously, so that's a bit of a problem too.
Yeah, and Jack Watts is in, so they're right there.
Paddy Ryder is due to come back, but I reckon they're going to go, you know what?
Well, yeah. It's his Achilles. So Achilles. If it's something that...
Everyone's complaining about that surface.
Yeah.
One more week.
And a bloke who depends on his jump and run.
Yeah. And by all accounts, Paddy takes a little while to get back into the fitness of things.
Yeah.
He likes match fitness as opposed to track fitness. So when he comes back, it'll be another couple of weeks. Yeah. You know what I mean? So this won't be the one.
So they've got to cut him off the meat pies for a little bit.
Something like that. So I think Eagles will put six in a row.
Yeah, I can see it happen. I think it'll be a bit tighter than we think, though. But yeah, I think the Eagles.
All right, that's three Eagles. On to Sydney and North at the SCG. No Buddy, no Hanbury for this week.
See, I'm actually disappointed there's no Buddy. I know it makes a fuck ton harder for North to win if he's in the squad. But I would like to see Tarrant or Dore on Buddy. Just for the fact of their development.
Jesus Christ. You want to see Dore on Buddy?
Yeah, because, you know, if you're going to try and turn a bloke into a backman, put him on one of the best forwards in the game and say, mate, you've got the toe to keep with him. Keep with him.
I remember Hawthorn putting Zach Dawson on Sav Rocker and he kicked 9. There's an education for you, cunt. I would hate to see Buddy on Majak. I think that's just unfair.
We'd have the option of switching to Tarrant, and Tarrant's had a pretty good history against Buddy, between him and Thompson.
That'd be a great matchup.
But I think if you're going to develop Madge into a backman, that would be a great development sort of method for him.
If North are to win this, it's only because Jacobs can hold Kennedy out. I don't think he has the tank to go with Parker, and Parker will go forward and take big grabs.
Yeah.
But you can shut down Kennedy.
Yeah.
Having said that, he had his best game of the year last week. So.
Yeah. But Parker's also been handy running across the back line as well. Yeah. So
I don't think Higgins is coming back yet. But on the plus side, Mason Wood kicked 6 in the VFL. So
he's got to be looking at it.
He has to. Yeah. And Nick Larkey kicked 2 bags of 4 in a row. So Jared Waite's due for a bit of a rest.
That'll satisfy all the Nick Larkey fans out there. Or with their number whatever on their back.
He's got the Suv as the nickname for Larkey.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
I'm pretty sure that was Jared Waite's nickname contribution, which if he takes his spot, he'd probably be a bit pissed about it. But what can you do? Anyone that tips North hates money. Let's be honest here. Sydney should give him absolute fucking hiding. But I think it'll be one where it'll be an educational game for the young lads.
I was going to say, at least Sydney have only had 2 losses this year and they've both been at the SCG. So North have got that going for them, I guess.
Okay. We'll look for every positive possible. To me, it's just getting the game style right.
Yeah.
If you can find some way of getting your game to run the structure, to run the way you want it against Sydney, then you know it's a robust structure. But it's going to be fucking tough.
Crows and Carlton over there. That's just... Tex must be kicking himself that he can't play this game.
Yep.
How many goals does Josh Jenkins kick from the goal square?
I'm just wondering if Tex comes on as a runner or something and then takes his...
I don't think he does much running in his spare time.
I think Jenkins kicks 4 from the goal square only because everyone else knows that they can kick him from 40, so they don't bother. Let's go straight over his head.
Do you reckon Tex just tells Jacobs to get Jenkins to get the fuck out of the goal square? He's doing it this week.
No, I don't think he has a chance. He knows not to take candy out of a baby's mouth. That's Jenkins. You know, that's his livelihood, kicking goals from the goal square. Eddie Betts could be back for this one too, so he'll need a nice little tune up to get him in into the season proper.
I don't see Carlton's back line matching up at all.
I don't see their forward line matching up. I don't see their midfield matching up. They're a piece of shit. They've 18 for a reason.
I can jump on Curnow as a forward option, provided the ball gets to him. But I just don't see them stopping Adelaide from scoring.
No, no one does.
It's going to be embarrassing.
Of course it is. Richmond and Frio, MCG. You'd reckon after a derby, the Western Australian teams usually find it a little bit tough the week after.
Yep.
So perfect timing for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, they've got no main, so I'm not really that concerned about this one. Frio always tend to put up a good fight against Tigers, though.
They do. With main.
Yeah, with main.
The only out the Richmond have is Rizza, and he could be back.
Yeah, it's due. He might be back. I think they were pegged around six, but
you got to run him through the VFL, surely.
Nah, fuck it. Bring him straight back.
I thought so. And yeah, big out for the Dockers is Ross Lyon.
Oh God,
I think it's a bit of a nothing story though, that one.
Oh, I don't think.
I mean, it's not quite Stormy Daniels, but there was some money crossed hands.
Yeah, it was at least 10K. But what I found really funny was the story had been hinting at it. It was like a senior official at Frio.
Yeah.
And it's like, we all know who it is.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're not going to name him yet. And then they're going, no, fuck it, we'll name him. That's what it felt like.
His name rhymes with Boss Kynes. But yeah, normally, if in doubt, look at the injury list. But even if you weren't in doubt... Frio have got a massive one.
Yeah.
You know, Hill, like, Gray, anyone that knows who Stefan Gyro is, good on you, but he's out.
Walters.
Bennell.
Bennell.
Old mate Bennell.
He's not even on the list.
But yeah, Walters out hurts them massively.
Yeah, he does. Cuts down another avenue to goal.
Yep.
Nank, I think, will enjoy the matchup with...
it should be a good one, actually.
He matches up very well, because of the one thing that old mate's good at is getting his hand to the ball, but he doesn't seem to be good at getting to his players.
Yeah. Saints and Melbourne at Etihad Stadium. Melbourne used to have a real problem. I think they never won at Etihad Stadium against the Saints until last year or something like that. So the Saints need a bounce back. They need a bounce back big because, to be honest, I think the coach's job is in trouble if they don't.
Yeah, I think for sure. And I hope it's not just a real shitty skilled game. I hope it's a free-flowing game and it could actually be exciting. I think the Saints will bounce back this one. They always have a knack of, I don't know, finding a streak of form for one game just to get the fans back and break their hearts again.
Usually against a top four side, though.
That's true. Sort
of pop up and go, oh, what the fuck did you win that one?
See, Petrarca randomly got bit by a dog on the finger or some shit?
Wasn't randomly. He had two dogs and they were fighting and he put his hands in between them.
Yeah.
You see, you know about that.
I have some sympathy with him. I've done that myself. Mind you, I was 10.
I imagine if you're a professional AFL football player, probably, I don't know, get a stick.
But that wasn't the worst of it, though. The thing was, the dog cut him and he went, oh, I'll be right.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
See, I don't...
He played a game of footy.
You literally go to a ground, go to a training facility with some of the best medical doctors in the country.
Well, he's...
On the next door.
Melbourne as well, so he's got a few in the stands here.
He's got fucking neurosurgeons and shit just, you know, sponsoring him. And he's just like, I'll just put a bit of Elastoplast on there.
I'll be right.
It's almost as bad as when Anthony Mundine tried to clean his contact lens by licking it.
Oh, my fuck.
He put it back in his eye. Almost lost his eye.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I expected more from Christian Petrarca in decision-making than Anthony Mundine.
So who's winning this one, Melbourne or Saints?
I'm on Melbourne because I don't think anyone can tip Saints at the moment.
I'm tipping them.
Just because.
You crazy.
And Lions and Collingwood up at the Gabba. You know what? Lions are due for one.
Yeah.
I think they've got a chance.
See, I think so too. I think I've pumped up Collingwood and they have played very well. Shorter break. And I feel like they really have been going flat chat for the last couple of games. They've played their asses off.
Well, two games in 5 days they played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And without Aish, I think
lots of injuries. Yeah. And anytime Bucks gets pumped up, does some good stuff, his players find a way to fuck it up for him.
They do.
Well, yeah. Darcy Moore also...
Still a couple away.
Yeah, he'll be a little bit away. Levi Greenwood's out. Goldsack's obviously out. Jamie Elliott's still out. Broomhead, Aish, Adams. I'm tipping Brisbane for an upset.
I think I'll still tip Collingwood, but Brisbane can do it.
Yeah, I'm tipping Collingwood, but yeah, I'll probably just for first quarters to see if there's a chance.
I'd love it if they had another miracle on grass game. That'd be great. All right, that'll do us for round 7. Hopefully I can actually get back to the footy this week. I haven't been to a game for a couple of weeks, so I'm I'm hanging out for it.
Yep.
All right, Lewis, bye.
Yep. Peace. Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.